Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 14th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by Mr. Marcel Dorf here on Thursday morning. Well, Thursday morning, our time. It's like, what, 4 o'clock for you, Marcel? You just finished your shift at work, and now you're ready to talk about some MMA with me. How's everything going, Marcel?
All's good, man. Thanks for having me again. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm better now that you're on with me, dude. I love doing the show with you. We got Kevin in the comments. He says, good morning, Adam. Good, whatever the hell it is, time there for Marcel. 6-hour time difference, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Actually, that's a good segue into like just noting this right at the top. Robin van Roosmalen, who is like a former glory champion, lightweight and featherweight division, was involved in a serious car accident in your native country. You want to talk about it, Marcel? Because it hits close to home for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only thing is, well, I know it's pretty much what probably everybody knows already. He was on the side of the road. He was riding a car with his sister. His sister was riding the car, and they were on the side of the road. They were waiting for help because the car didn't work anymore. And then a truck hit them. The car was a total wreck. His sister died on the spot, I know, and Robin had some severe injuries. So I know the driver of the truck has been arrested, but that's pretty much all we know right now, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a sad story. I mean, his sister passed away in the accident, and there's some pictures of the crashing, Marcel. You maybe saw those. Like, it looks bad. I mean, it looks like it was a really, really bad accident. So, you know, we wish him the best of luck in his recovery. But I mean, the guy lost his sister. So, and apparently they were like super close. From what I saw, like they were like best friends too. So it's just really devastating news to that family. And I mean, his career might be in question now at this point. He's only like 31 too, Marcel. His sister's only 29. It's just like, just a loss of life. It's sad, man. But yeah, I mean, at 31, dude, like you have to wonder if he's gonna fight again, you know, because apparently like there were severe injuries. I saw something, I don't know if it's true because it's hard to get like information right now, but something like his back is like mangled, so that's not good, man. Also, I feel bad for this guy, Marcel, because I didn't really realize this, but I was looking into his MMA debut, or not his Bellator debut. He's already fought in Greece twice, right? But dude, I mean, twice now he couldn't make it to the fight, and like, is he ever even gonna fight now? Like, I feel so bad for this guy. The last 2 years, he hasn't fought at all, Marcel. COVID-19, he had that weight miss. You gotta feel bad for this dude, man. It's just been like 2 years of hell, and then this happens. Like, that's just terrible. So, want to mention that off the top, show some respect, and again, you know, our condolences to the victim of the accident. It's really sad. All right, Marcel, let's talk about some fun stuff now. Dana White. Mr. Dana White, you watched the interviews? He did a couple. I'm sure you saw a few of them.
I saw the one with Brett Okamoto, and I saw some loose clips. So, yeah.
So, yeah, you talked to Brett, you talked to John, and you talked to Oscar. So, he did the rounds. There was a lot you talked about, but let's go through it, Marcel. Dana White's always – I call him the gift that keeps on giving, because he always gives us, like, these sound bites and stuff. One thing he was talking about was, again, Khabib. He's supposed to meet him this week. Didn't give too much information, but basically, Marcel, he said it's a yes or no answer. He said it's going to take 5 minutes to figure out if he's going to fight again. And according to Dana, he believes he will fight again. What do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I don't think he will. Maybe the thing is, people are laughing like he has to ask his mother first. But seriously, man, if he promised his mother over there, that's a serious thing. So if he still wants to fight, he probably will ask his mother first if she's cool with it. And if she says no, he probably won't fight. It's that thing, you know? And he doesn't have to do it anymore for... Listen, man, he's recognized as the best one right now, you know? So he doesn't have to do it for that. Guy is a proud person, you know? And he doesn't have to do it for the money, you know? He has all... How do you say that? He's pretty much rich. Let's put it this way.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lot of money, so he doesn't have to do it for the money. And it's only for being competitive he can still do it. But I don't know, man. It depends really on Khabib what he wants to do. And that's pretty much it. I can't say anything more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're not – I would love to be a fly in the wall right now, Marcel, in that room with him. I'd like to just be in, like in a secret camera, like hiding through a little dot in the wall to watch what's going to happen. Again, it's hard to speculate, but I think Dana's going to convince him just because I think the money's going to be enough, but I don't know if he's going to fight time soon. I'm not sure. I think he might say, like, I need more time to think about it, but I do think he's going to fight again. I just don't know if it's going to be anytime soon. But, of course, I mean, he wants him to fight Conor. Marcel, he can't make it any more obvious how bad he wants Conor to win that fight. Like, every interview he did is like, oh, Connor, man, if he gets a if he wins this fight, he's getting a title shot like against whoever. Has he said it once about Dustin? And the funny thing was, I can't remember which interview it was because he did a couple, but he goes like, he's like, fans are overlooking Dustin Poirier, man. Dustin Poirier's a savage, but he's the one in every interview saying like, if Connor wins, he gets a title shot. But he not once, Marcel, as he said, if Dustin wins, he's getting a title shot. Not once has he said that. So
no, exactly, and that's I don't really like that, man. You know that. I mean, he pretty much said also like, if Khabib doesn't come back, and he didn't say the winner of Connor or Dustin. He said, and if Connor wins, he fights the highest ranked guy for the title. That's what he said. Yeah. So I was like, I mean, yeah, we all know he wants Connor to fight for the title against Khabib, but yeah, man, I mean, do you remember when Dana also said like when champions or fighters retire, we should respect that because it's probably time for them to retire. And now Khabib wants to retire, and he's like, no, he can't retire. And it's like, dude,
he's the only guy who doesn't count for that. Doesn't, because every time he's ever been asked in any press conference I've ever watched, he's like, the guy's retired. He wants to retire. I'm not going to bother.
Exactly.
If the guy wants to retire, we can't convince him to come back. He said that so many times.
How many times he said that about Conor last year?
So many, GSP, all these guys. But for Khabib, it's like he wants to get him back. He wants that money. For Dana, I mean, listen, like, he wants to make some money. He's going to convince Khabib. I think his argument's going to be, come on, Khabib, get to 30-0, man. Come on, get that one more fight. That's what he's going to say to him. And Khabib's going to be like, I already beat Conor. I already beat Dustin. I want to fight GSP. I think that's the fight he'll come back for. I don't know, Marcel. I know there's a lot of money for this rematch. Dana's saying 3 million pay-per-views now, but I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. What do you think?
The thing is, man, maybe I would be a bad businessman. I pretty much would be a bad businessman. But this is pretty much like a guy who has like 10 million in the bank, yeah, and he can make it 11 million, for example. I'm just saying, you know. It's not like he's bankrupt and he needs this fight to happen for being stable again, you know. So it's like, he doesn't even need the money, I think, you know? Yeah. So it's, and I'm talking about Dana, not about Khabib, not about Conor, I'm talking about Dana, you know? So, I mean, it's just like, it's pure about the money for him, this one, because to be honest, are you really intrigued by Khabib versus Conor too?
Not really, no.
I mean, me neither.
The first fight, what interests me is like when he got knocked down with that punch. Like, I'm still surprised by that. So I would like to see it go on more in the striking, but I think Khabib would just take him down and beat him up on the ground again. Like, and I like Conor. I think his takedown defense is probably better. Won't be good enough, though. What do you think?
It also really bothers me when people say, but like, yeah, but the first time that wasn't the focus Conor. The real Conor is back now. I was like, come on, man. I mean, are we going to say that with every fight someone is in, like, that wasn't the real one, but now the real one is back, you know?
Yeah.
You never know, man, you know? I mean, Conor can put him away with one good shot. I don't say he can't, you know? But why? It just doesn't make sense to me. But I understand from a business point, it makes a lot of sense, you know? But I'm not, like I always say, man, I'm not on the UFC payroll, so I don't have to bend with how they think, you know?
Yeah, I just got a text. I'm going to read it on camera here. Look, what does it say here? From the government. It says, the stay-at-home order is in effect. Only leave your home for essential purposes such as work, food, or healthcare, exercise. They haven't locked it down yet, but like, or curfewed it yet, but they've locked it down here in Toronto. So we're in lockdown, man. I'm going to be stuck here with all these guys for like the next couple of months. So hopefully, Dana's right behind me too, eh? He's right there, Marcel. He's always got his eye on me, man. Let me get some comments here. All my favorite guys are in the chat today, man. Marcus, one of the best guys I know on Twitter. If Khabib vacates title this week, does Conor and Poirier become the title fight? Yeah, I think so. I think they'll introduce. I'm sure they have an extra belt. Why wouldn't they, right? Because if Khabib's like, I'm not going to fight, I'm sure they'll just make it a vacant title. But if he says like any more time, maybe they'll just forget it. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be for belt?
If I was Khabib, I would say today, not I tell you on the 24th.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of wrong. Like, I wouldn't be surprised though. I just don't think they need to, I don't think they need to add the title to sell it. I think people will buy it, right? No. Yeah, they'll buy it either way because Connor's fighting. So
yeah.
We'll see. All right, let's get some more comments here. Daniel Edwards, in fairness, Dustin and Khabib isn't something to project in reality, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, listen, like the first fight didn't do that great on pay-per-view. Like it did okay, I guess. Not great, but it's just more of like Dana being, very. He's the one saying Connor's going to tell Shaw. He's going to mention Dustin once. Then he's the guy saying Dustin's being overlooked by everyone. Like, he's the first guy overlooking him. So it's silly.
Go ahead. I want to know what you think about that the UFC wants to make Oliveira versus Gaethje, man. Why does Oliveira have to go Gaethje as well? Again, also, man. I mean, what's up with that, man? So Connor can get a win against Dustin Poirier and fight for a title, but Charles Oliveira has to beat Tony Ferguson?
And let me ask you a question. Did you just hear my dogs bark or no? Did you hear them?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Because I can kind of. I just wanted to make sure you guys didn't. There's a room above this room, the new office I'm in, that they're sitting in right now. Anyways, yeah, it's ridiculous. And also, like, I was kind of surprised that he went out there and said, hey, he turned down a fight with Michael Chandler, by the way, on short notice. And, like, we don't blame him because of the weight cutting thing. But I'm surprised he even said that, Marcel.
But even, listen. Michael Chandler, he has been an amazing guy for Bellator, 100%, was a good champion. He lost to Patricio Pitbull. But what the UFC, listen, man, I have nothing against Michael Chandler, don't get me wrong. But the UFC made him, how do you say that? I can't find the right word.
Being overhyped or something? Or?
Nah, they have them as backup fighter Khabib against Gaethje last time, yeah? But he is now very, how do you say that? That you feel like that you have, God, I can't get the word. That you deserve more than you actually deserve. Do you have the word? Privilege. I think he feels very privileged in the UFC right now, you know? Because he doesn't want to fight this one. He doesn't want to fight this one. He only wants to fight the top guys. And I'm like, you haven't proved yet to me that you can beat these top guys who are in the UFC right now. Yep. That's why I wanted to see him fight somebody like against the top, but not really top yet. So Hooker might be a good fight. It's a good fight. I would say Paul Felder, Dan Hooker would be a good fight. But Charles Oliveira would have been completely BS if they gave him
chance. I know. It's not right. Like, he's won 8 straight fights. He's won 8 in a row. And he just destroyed Tony. That was, like, an amazing performance. Being him, like, the way he did, being Kevin Lee last year as well. It was a great year for him. Guys, I'd like to see him fight for the belt next against whoever. Like, he deserves it.
Yeah. By the way, I want to apologize. Sometimes I can't find the right word.
And Don't worry about it. I was trying to think, too, and I couldn't think of it either. Let me get some more comments here from these guys. Kevin said, if Khabib offers to come back against anyone except Conor, does Danny even want that? I think he would fight GSP. I mean, that's the fight he wants. But GSP, I don't know if he'll fight again, man. Like, especially with his comments lately, Marcel. Like, he's like, I don't miss fighting, but I miss winning. So, I mean, there's a chance because maybe he will, like, be like, you know what? Even at age 40, I think I could be Khabib and cement my legacy as the GOAT. Because right now there's like a few guys that could be the GOAT. There's like Khabib, there's GSP, there's John Jones. And all these guys have this legacy fight that they could have. Like, Jones could win that second belt and become the GOAT. I already think he probably is, but it's hard to say.
GOAT by weight
class. The argument, it's stupid, right? Yeah, and weight class is better because how can you pick a guy in all of MMA in the thousands of fighters that we've had in the UFC and MMA history? Like, it's hard. Okay, let's get some more comments. Daniel says, it'd be funny if Dana told the media he'll think about Dustin Khabib if he hit round 2. That'd be funny. Let's see. Kevin says, Connor offered nothing in the first fight. I have absolutely zero interest in watching it. Dude, I'm with you. I mean, I'll obviously watch it. I watch every card, though. So, like, I'm the worst guy to ask. You can't ask a guy who covers a sport for a living, like, will you watch the card? You gotta ask your friends. Ask your casual fans. I'll be honest, they probably would say they'd watch it. That's why they'll probably do this fight.
But there are even journalists who are going to say on Twitter, like, I'm not going to watch this card. It's awful. It's like,
They'll watch it.
But I'm like, maybe you better, you can't say that, man. You can't say this is kind of a mediocre card. Say it like that. But don't say I don't watch it because it's awful. It kind of sounds...
I know. I don't... Yeah. I mean, we've seen some journalists kind of like criticize... Okay, listen. You can obviously criticize cards. There's a lot of cards that are... They're not very deep. They're shallow. They're just not that great, like, in general. But there is a little too much criticism at times. Like, I know what you're saying. So let me get some more comments here. Oh, you want to say something like that?
No, I agree. Oh, okay. I'm definitely not with the COVID era right now. I'm not really going to complain about the
fight. I'm just happy to have something to watch, man, honestly.
Exactly. Like, exactly, I mean, what were the last 3 weeks, man?
Nothing, man. I've watched, like, every movie that's possibly you can watch on Amazon Prime, and I beat, like, a couple of video games, too. Like, I'm ready to get back to it, man. Let me get some comments here. Kevin says, I don't think they'll add a title to Conor and Poirier at this point. It's too late to promote it. Maybe, yeah. You're probably right about that. Trey Wager, age-old reference. Hey, man, how's it going? He says, if Charles had started in English before 10 years deep in his career, it would have been quite beneficial. It seems like a good, kind human outside the cage. Dude, he gave, like, he was delivering bags of food to, like, this poor favela in Brazil. Like, this guy is awesome. And I got to be honest, man. I mean, I've watched the guy for over 10 years now. I remember when he fought Jim Miller in Montreal. He got knee-barred by Jim Miller. That was, like, over a decade ago. I saw him. I was at his fight with Cub Swanson. I bet on Cub Swanson. He was an underdog, like, plus 200. He knocked him out, and I was like, and then the fight with Max Holloway in Canada where he, like, had that neck injury. Like, I thought this guy was a quitter. I think everyone did. We all thought he was a quitter. The Paul Felder fight's another example, Marcel. Gets taken down, bashed in the face, and gives up. But something changed when he moved up to lightweight. And I know the Felder fight was a lightweight, but after that, something changed, Marcel. It's not the same guy anymore. This is a guy who's, like, he's really improved. And I love seeing a guy at this stage of his career, at age 30, 10 years deep in his career, get better. I never thought he'd be as good as he is, and I'd like to see that I'm wrong. What do you think about Charles?
I agree with you, man. Was it also against Cowboy where he got hit and he was calling this one? And there were also some people were like, why did he fall? It was definitely
that was terrible. The Cup fight, but the Dom fight too. I mean, they both had that same, like, knockdown where he got, like, rocked and stuff. But you know what? He's turned himself to an amazing fighter.
I agree, man. Definitely 100%. And but the thing with no disrespect, Straight Wager, by the way, but I mean, for me personally, I don't really care if he can speak English or not. I know it's really big for some people, you know, but for me, it's just like, if he fights good, listen, man, Fedor never could speak English good, you know. He spoke always Russian, but I'm a huge Fedor fan his whole career since he was in Pride. I always liked him, you know. And I don't speak Russian, but I like his fights, you know. I was a huge Hannah Barrow fan, and I'm still am, but he's been declining worse since his TJ Dillashaw fight, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he never spoke any English, and I know it's for very many fans is a big issue, but it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest. If you're a good fighter, I'm good with it. But I understand from a promotion point of view and a business point of view, it's probably a harder sell to the U.S. fans, for example.
Yeah, so no, for sure. I'm with you, too. Like, it doesn't bother me as much. But if you try to promote it to casual fans, you would like to have those sound bites. But it doesn't matter because he's winning fights. Like, he's won 8 straight fights. That's what matters to me, what he's doing in Octagon. Straight Wager says Cowboy's the perfect example of the Charles before and after. I think the Cub Swanson fight too, where he got rocked and he got hit in the eye and basically got rocked and, like, just basically tapped out. It was weird. And Straight Wager says North American market. Yeah. Look at Aldo. He could have been massive international star, but he couldn't even do a presser. That's true. That is true. Aldo, I think, is even a better guy to criticize because he's been at the top the whole time. Like, he was a champ the whole time, and he didn't really care about that. He just kind of focused on himself, which is okay. But I think he could have been a bigger star, like, because I actually remember having a conversation with someone like 10 years ago, and they were telling me they thought Aldo was the best fighter in the world like 10 years ago when he was WEC coming into UFC and he was just defending his belt, destroying everyone. But I think, and I was like, you know what, you're probably right, but he never became that star at that time when he was beating everyone like Frankie and all these guys. He was just beating them like with ease, Chad Mendes, all these guys. But I think that in the eyes of fans, like, you know, once he lost to Conor, he became kind of worthless to that as a man, which is sad because he's a legend, right?
He is, in my opinion, still the greatest of all time at featherweight. I mean, I respect Conor. I respect Max Holloway. I think Max Holloway is second behind Aldo. And people say he beat him twice. I know he beat him twice. But I look at legacy, the complete legacy of a fighter. And, for example, Chris Weidman beat Anderson Silva twice. Do you think he's the best middleweight of all time because he beat Silva? I don't think so. He's good. Don't get me wrong. But he doesn't have a bigger legacy than Anderson Silva, you know, at middleweight, is my opinion. And is Dennis Holman a better welterweight than Matt Hughes because he beat him twice? I mean, we can go on with this. I know. You know what I mean?
So yeah, there's always those fights where, like, someone's got their number and stuff. I'm just going to get this last comment. We're going to move on after this, Marcel. He says, just to clarify, it doesn't bother me. People shouldn't cater to other languages. It's so big in casuals' interest, such as my friends. He's right about that. But
yeah, okay, 100%.
We're all hardcore fans here, so for us, it's like whatever.
I 100% understand you, Straight Wager. And I mean, no disrespect or anything. I 100% understand you, and I know many people look at it that way. So, yeah, I understand, man.
No, it's cool. It's totally cool to, like, disagree about stuff. And you guys are doing it in a respectful way, which is great. White talked about Nate Diaz. He's teasing a comeback. He said it's not Tony Ferguson. So, Marcel, when are we going to see Tony Ferguson versus Nate Diaz?
Yeah, exactly, right? I don't know, man. I mean, Listen, man, the Diaz brothers do what they want. You know that. Nick has teased a comeback last year. I haven't seen anything. Nate Diaz is always in talks. So I don't know, man. And Paul Felder also said it wasn't him. So I have no idea who they want to give him.
I honestly think it's Tony. I think they're going to give him Tony. I think Dana's lying through his teeth. I think he's like, oh, that's not Tony. So like, you look at everyone else.
But Adam, Dana doesn't. Does Dana ever lie?
Dana's never lied in his life. Actually, someone posted that, and they had that picture from the movie Memento, where it's like, don't believe his lies. You got the picture of Dana, you know, that famous meme. Yeah. Daniel says he disagrees with you, Marcel. He says Matt Serra is the GOAT.
My bad.
Yeah. Okay. So it's, I mean, just like looking at the rankings and looking at the divisions, apparently he'll come back at lightweight. That's what Dana's saying. I think Tony's a great fight. I think Gaethje would be a good fight. I think actually Gaethje would probably just take him apart the kicks, right? Like he would just destroy him. But I think Ferguson's a good fight. Like I think Tony deserves that big fight like that too. I know he lost his last two, but Tony's a guy that was screwed a lot. He got really screwed over by the whole, you know, blowing his knee out, tripping over that cable a few years ago and stuff. So love the guy. But yeah, if there's one fight for Nate that you'd like to see at 155, who would it be?
Yeah, Tony, I like that very much actually. So yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
By the way, if there will ever be a Joe Pesci documentary or movie made, Matt Serra should play him.
Joe Pesci, the actor from Goodfellas? Yeah.
100% Matt Serra should play him.
Am I a clown? Yeah, that's a great movie, man. I haven't seen it in a long time, but like one of the best gangster movies of all time. Crazy movie. All right. I already had Matt Serra, by the way. Pardon?
Love Matt Serra. He's great.
He's got a good personality. He's good in the corner, I'll tell you that. You can hear him giving his instruction in the corners. We talked about DuBronx. Okay. I got to talk about this. This is important. Dana White talked about brain injuries in MMA. Mm. It's part of the sport, Marcel. It's just part of the sport. I'm dealing with it myself, he said. That's what Dana said. Dude, how can he even do that and compare himself to the actual fighters? I know he had boxing experience. He was a boxing instructor and stuff, but that's a joke. He even said that. Like, people are pissed off right now because of the story that came out. I should mention the story, obviously. I'm sure you guys saw it. Steven Morocco for MMA Fighting, I think it was, did an amazing story. Really did amazing research. Like, it was a story that took a few years to do, apparently. Like, that's incredible journalism. That's the kind of journalism that you really strive for to do. So it was a great story. And basically, Spencer Fisher, he has brain trauma, and he was being supported by the UFC for a few years. Once the new ownership came in a few years ago, all those guys got axed. Chuck Liddell, who else was there? There's a bunch of guys, Matt Hughes, all these guys. They might still get something because they're close to Dana. I don't think so, though. I think they cut all those guys from those like positions. So now this guy is struggling to pay his health insurance and stuff, and he has serious health problems, and his wife's struggling to take care of him. Like, it was sad, man. It's a sad story, and I love the sport, Marcel. I love it. This is why I always, man, I hate when you see a guy take excessive damage in fights, because you just know that one day they're going to be scrambled in the head. The thing about MMA is, Marcel, and you know this firsthand, it's still a new sport. It's still, like, the sport's been – it's been alive less than me, really. Like, I know there was some, you know, MMA fights back in the day with, like, what, Ali had one or something. But because Inoue, I think that was the famous fight. But in reality, it's a 90s creation. So, you know, it's still a new sport. Who was I talking about again? I completely lost my train of thought there.
You talked about Spencer Fisher.
Yeah, Spencer Fisher, man. So he's a guy that was there for years, right? Miltich training systems, like these guys, and they used to spar Marcel way too hard. They would they would knock each other out in sparring all the time, right? So all these guys you're starting to see now, like Matt Hughes, Robbie Lawler, like you're starting to really see the decline of their brain function. It's really sad to see, man. This is why when a guy like Diego Sanchez goes and says, "I'm gonna have to take one more fight and I'm done," it was good to hear that. I was glad I heard that. And here's another one from Straight Wager comment about this. He says, not sure on Miletic and Paul Verne getting heat for gambling, who could KO Spencer in training. It is a tough read, and it's brutal. And that was just how it was back then. They didn't, you know, let's give these guys a little bit of credit. They didn't really know what the effects would be as much as I think some other sports we would know, because sports is new. Having said that, we still know that boxing was dangerous and these guys were knocking each other and sparring. A guy like Spencer Fisher, Marcel, like he'll never live the same life ever again. Like this, and his family, his life, it's going to be very hard now. It's the price these guys pay for the glory, for the winning, for the losing. I love the sport, man. It is a violent sport. What these guys and girls do, it's always impressed me, Marcel. I've told this story enough times. I had one smoker in Muay Thai. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about, because I got hit in like the first 10 seconds. A guy hit me here. He got right here. Where Cain Velasquez got knocked out when he lost to Junior, right? I was covering my chin. I got hit right there and I started wobbling. I didn't get KO'd, but I remember the feeling of just my vision closing in. It was so weird. Like, it was a horrible, horrible feeling. And these guys do that every day. So it's like, I can't even imagine that. Because I remember my brain hurt for like a week after that fight, 2 weeks. I couldn't even get out of bed. My legs were hurt. My brain was hurt. My head was hurt. Everything was hurt. What these guys and girls do for a living, Marcel, it's unparalleled. And I'm scared, though. As a fan, as a guy who covers the sport, as a guy who's making his living off the sport, I love the sport. But it worries me that these fighters in 20 years, they're going to be in severely diminished as far as their mental capacity goes. And it's really sad, Marcel. Any thoughts on the article and brain trauma and MMA in general?
I haven't had time to read it completely. So I haven't been. I saw the article, by the way. I have it in my I bookmarked it so I can see, I can read it back, but I haven't seen it, read it completely. Yeah, man. I mean, I told you before as well, man, when fights, when somebody knocks someone else out and he goes down, there are some fighters who love to give some extra punishment or one or two extra shots. And I hate that. I always say I hate that. And then I get back on Twitter, people like, yeah, but you got to go, you got to keep on until the referee pulls you off. And that's the wrong mentality, in my opinion, man. I mean, if you fight with, with anger, yeah, then those things happen. But if you fight with, as a martial artist, you shouldn't do that.
I'm with you, but dude, I mean, it's MMA. Do you know how many people have criminal records that fight in MMA? Like,
yeah,
a lot of fighters that are like the best fighters in the world were in jail at some point for like assault and stuff.
But there are certain guys, and I'm not going to name them, who are known for extra.
Absolutely. Dude, you can name them. Look at Dan Henderson when he did it to Bisping. Like, that's a classic example. He didn't need to do that. It was because he was angry at him.
I can't even give you an extra on Jeremy Stephens.
Which fight?
I love Jeremy Stephens. The Do Hu Choi fight, the Josh Emmett fight.
Josh Emmett fight was brutal. Oh, man.
You're right. Emmett fight.
He's been in jail, dude. He's the guy that's been in jail.
Like, Marcus Davis fight, I think, as well.
These guys, okay, listen, they're martial artists, and I'd love for them to all be like respectful, Lyoto Machida. That's just not how it is, Marcel. It's a violent sport, bro. It attracts people, and it's a good thing because we do have these violent people that are doing MMA. Because I'd rather them be in the gym beating the bags than beating someone on the street, you know.
Listen, for example, Nate Marquardt is a great example of somebody who doesn't do it, who always retracts when he knows somebody's out, you know. There are more, you know, but I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it's sad, you know, and I didn't know that. I wasn't that far in reading that the UFC stopped with, when they got taken over by the others, that they stopped supporting them. But that's sad, honestly, man.
I know. I agree, Marcel. Listen, we're going to see these guys, I call them our heroes, because they're our heroes. They are. Guys like Chuck, these pioneers in the sport, Hoist, and maybe not Hoist because he didn't take as much damage, but Randy Couture, these guys that Marcel that got knocked out. How about a guy like Andrei Arlovsky, Alistair Overeem? These guys are still getting knocked out in their 40s. So it worries me. Like, actually, Overeem's crazy because he's right there. He's smarter than a lot of us. Like, he's really good at speaking, but he's been knocked out like 20 times, Marcel, in the combat sports. Like, 20 years, is he still gonna have that? It worries me, man. I get scared because I care about these guys, you know?
Think about Sakuraba, man. He fought against absolute monsters and Pride, which were not even in his weight class. And he got knocked out like twice by Vanderlei Silva, three times. I mean,
yep.
It's crazy, you know?
It's part of the sport. It's part of the sport, but it's the rough part of the sport. Let me just get these comments here. Kevin says, for the late punches, he says, Francis, when he knocked all over him. Daniel Edwards says, I think brain injuries are silent killer. It's easy for us to overlook because you can't see it from the outside. You're 100% right. You can't see the guy with the cast on, but his brain might be in serious trouble. And he says Jeremy Stephens against Tawny Jason. That was another one too. Jeremy Stephens, listen, man, he's a great fighter too, but it's a guy that I'm glad he has MMA because he's a guy that if he didn't have MMA, he might be in jail. It's possible. Like he remember that time where he was supposed to fight Eve Edwards or whatever, and Dana White went to the jail and bailed him out the day before. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's – and again, not throwing shade at these guys. if these guys have had criminal records, and I'm not saying, you know, everyone in MMA has, there's lots of people that don't, obviously, mm-hmm. like most fighters probably don't, but there are a lot that do. And I'm just saying that it's good they have an outlet. I mean, it's not like MMA is the first sport that's seen like former like violent criminals, like boxing. There's, I was reading about a boxer, I can't remember his name, but I was reading about him last night. He was a convicted murderer and ended up being a world champion in boxing. So, you know, like, it's good that we do have these outlets for these guys, Marcel, but you're talking about, like, you know, the whole rage, anger thing versus, like, being a respectful martial artist. Like, I'm with you completely. It's just, I think it's hard for some of these guys in the moment. They get really enraged, and they're just doing their job. Like you said, that's what people are saying. Wait till the referee pulls you off. I get it, but I'm kind of with you, too. Like, how many – I actually prefer – I prefer when a guy gets KO'd and the guy backs up and puts his hands in the air. Like Jordan Leavitt versus Matt Wyman.
Yeah.
He could have landed more grounded pound. He could have. But he just got right up, put his arms in the air. He knew his opponent was knocked out. I like to see that more. But if you're a blood – if you're one of the Jess Bleed fans, Marcel, they might like the late – like the like a Jose Aldo versus Peter Yan, like Glover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith. These really vicious – like beatings. Might, some people like that, Marcel, believe it or not.
You know what fun is when it's not fun. But in a street fight, for example, man, you see all these times those street fights on the internet, right? And then I also see somebody knocked out. When somebody is knocked out, it's over, you know? Fight is over. And yeah. Also, for me, in a street fight, is that as well. I've been... Yeah, it's not really a street fight when you're a kid, right? But but I've been in some. But, I mean... When somebody's done, somebody is done. I don't need to kill somebody or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I've been raised, and that's those are my values. You know, yep. But not everybody has those same values. So yep. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that too. Here's a comment. Cam Reeler says, this is a perfect example. Dare you stop after you knock
out a super respectful guy?
One of the most respectful guys. Yeah. I love Benny. He is another guy. He donated his bonus, I think, from that fight or the fight with Jokar Klose, and fed all these people in at Haiti. I think he went to Haiti for a mission, and he spent his bonus feeding like poor people. He's a great guy.
He's such a good dude. I remember when he fought Michael Johnson and he got that split decision win, and people were booing. And he was like, I understand why you guys booing. And I didn't know if I did enough, but I'm happy with the win. You're super respectful.
That was a bad decision, though. Let's be fair.
Thought Michael Johnson won as well. Yeah.
I was in Nashville. I remember that fight. Daniel Weber says, Glover saying sorry to Smith. So he's another nice guy.
Yeah.
Glover was beating the crap out of Anthony Smith. His teeth fell out. He's like, man, I'm sorry. He's like, it's okay. It's part of the sport. Like, and Anthony Smith's a tough guy. He's a tough dude. A few other things. Dana talked about Zabit. Zabit's going to come back, he says, in the next 3 months. You think they're going to do this fight with Yair, or should they move on? What are they going to do with him?
I'm so bored, you know. I mean, why they want to do this fight specifically with Yair? I know why they want to do this fight with Yair, in my opinion. I know why. But, I mean...
Why? Because of management? You think it's because first round versus Ali?
Because I think Zabit will look good against Yair. That's what I think.
I think Zabit will look good against most guys. He's incredible, man.
I mean, people give Zabit way too much shit for his cardio. I know his cardio didn't look good at all. I agree with that. But people give him way too much shit for that. For example, Volkanovski hadn't fought a five-rounder before he fought Max for the title, you know?
Yep.
But the thing is, his cardio didn't look bad in his fights, you know? So people will not focus on that. The Calvin Kattar fight, which was supposed to happen in Boston, which was originally also a co-main event there, didn't go through because Zabit had, a staff infection. And they wanted that a month later. And Zabit accepted it, wasn't really happy with it, but he accepted it. And it was a co-main event. Then Volkov against, I think Volkov Overeem was that, or Volkov Dos Santos, fell through. And they had a new main event needed. And they asked for a five-rounder. Kato wants the five-round. Yep. Speedcamp didn't want it because he already almost pulled out of that fight the month before for that. So he looked pretty bad in the third round again.
Yep.
First two rounds he won.
He was sick, though, like you said. Like,
yeah,
Ali said he was dealing with that illness. I'm with you. Go ahead.
So people put way too much value in that, I think.
Yeah.
So listen, man, if Calvin Kattar, for example, maybe they will meet each other again, you know, Calvin Kattar and Zabit. And then do it for a five round and we can see who wins. I think Kattar is a great fighter as well. So, but what we're going to do, probably we will see Zabit fighting either Rodriguez or Chan Sung-jung, the Korean zombie. Mm-hmm. One of those two, because Volkanovski likely going to fight Ortega. Holloway is against Kattar this weekend. So, or maybe one of those two. We don't know, man. You know, if Holloway loses, for example, we can see Zabit versus Holloway. But if Cater wins, I don't think, maybe Cater wants to avenge that loss and he's still interested in Zabit. I don't know, but we will see.
I'm sure he is, but if you're Zabit, why would you take that fight?
If Cater wins.
You just beat him, though. Why would he take the second straight fight against the guy you just beat? Yeah, I know he had the layoff, but I wouldn't take that fight if I was him.
If Cater wins, he's likely going to beat number two or number three, and he will pass Zabit. So
you think? If he beats Max, that's true. The thing is, Brian Ortega is fighting for the belt next. Dana White's confirmed that. He said there's no date yet, right? Mm. So I think that what they wanted to do that fight, and then they wanted the winner of the Zaire and Zabit fight to fight the winner of that fight. But the winner of that fight's probably going to have to fight someone else now. So. Or in Max too, Max or Cater. I think they're gonna have to fight again, Marcel. They'll have to wait a year otherwise to get a title shot. So I could see if Max wins, I could see them doing Max and Zabit. I could see that fight. But honestly, I think they're gonna rebook the fight with Yair because they've been training for each other for over a year now, I think. And it's only three more months, right? So it's not that much longer. I think they'll just rebook it, and maybe we'll see that fight in April or May. Maybe on the co-main event of the Cormier and Stipe and Francis card in April. Maybe you'll see co-main event on that or something. Possibly. It's an example. Get some comments here from Marcel quickly. He said, actually, let me get Cameron's first because Dana talked to him. He says, what they're going to do with Covington. Dana said they still have nothing. It's, dude, how do they not have a fight for him and Jorge done yet? Again, unless they're going to be tough coaches. I mean, that's the only reason, right? Like, there'd be a delay. Why else would it take this long to get the fight done?
I mean, I know many people don't like Colby, but Colby is just good, man. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, he should. I want to see him fight Masvidal. I think he beats Masvidal. Sorry, I think he beat Masvidal. I know many people don't like to hear that, but I think he will. And then I would like to see him fight the winner of Burns against Usman, because the Usman fight was 2-2 going into the fifth, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Usman rightfully won. Even if he didn't get the knockout, he would have won via a unanimous decision 48-47 on my card. I know none of the judges may have on my card. But, I mean, probably they're going to do, if Chimaev wins, Chimaev will fight the winner of Burns Usman. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
I was at that fight, man. That was a crazy fight. I was in Vegas for that one, and it was a late night. That was a long card. It was one of the, I think it was the longest card in UFC history because there were three title fights. I think they all went the distance, right? Three title fights. It was the Nunes Durandamy fight, which was so boring. Even Durandamy was after saying how boring of a fight it was, and she was in it. So I'm not like throwing shade. She was the one in the fight. Volkanovski Max wasn't the. It was a good fight. It was really technical though, but then the main event was like one of the best fights, right? It was such a crazy fight. I had it 2-2 as well, I think, going into the fifth. I think it was a bad stoppage, personally. I think it was a little early, but Colby still would have lost, like you said, so we got to remember that. There's no way he would have came back to win. I still think the Mark Goddard, I'm gonna give you a wedge, you pull your underwear off. Like, I thought that was pretty funny, and he's pretty pissed off. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I always have to laugh with Jermaine Durandamy. After her fight, she immediately calls her mother. And she was like, in the Nunes fight, she was talking in Dutch, obviously, but I will say in English. She's like, hi, mom. Yeah, the fight is over. Yeah, I lost. They didn't say, yeah, but I know I lost. She said, yeah, Amanda is good.
That's funny. Yeah, she is good. Let me get these comments quickly. Cameron says they're probably going to move on. Said with the schmo. Yeah, you know what? That was last week. I guess things have changed because yesterday he said he's not sure. Like, they're still considering it. So, honestly, it's pure speculation on our part. We're just talking about it for fun. Marcus, this is a great question. I love this one. I know this is an old story, but I'm still shocked Davison Figueroa did not get pay-per-view points at UFC 255 and 256. I question how good his manager, who is Valid Ismail, is. Yes, great point. The Benavidez fights, I could see why he didn't. They weren't on pay-per-view. They were on, obviously, just free TV. The fight with Alex Perez, I think he probably should have got something, but I guess with the UFC, they were like, okay, he's still got to prove himself. I don't know. Like, I actually thought all champs got something. I know that some like Conor and Khabib get a lot more like money. Like, Conor's posted about it. He gets, like, you saw how much money he made last year or 2 years ago with the – 3 years ago, I should say, with the Khabib fight. Like, he's posted that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Marcel. It's – Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that this guy deserved the points. He's getting them now. But the fact he didn't get them from the Moreno fight is really sickening. And Dana White got that money. And actually, the Spencer Fisher story talked more about Dana's gambling problem and how he goes into these blackjack tables and drops 50,000. He said he gave Spencer Fisher, like, I think, I don't know what it was, 10 or 20,000 to, like, he's like, here's some money. And he's like, oh, thanks, Dana. And he's like, no, come on, let's go play some poker. So Dana White and the UFC are, you know, we don't know the whole story, what's going on behind the scenes with them, but it's obvious that the UFC is making so much money from their business and they're not paying out the fighters enough of the revenue. This is a fact. It's like 80-20, Marcel. The other the other sports are generally 50-50, like baseball. These big sports in North America, Marcel, they'll have salary caps or negotiate on with labor, with unions and stuff. But, you know, it's, in the MMA, it's like you kind of have to take what the UFC gives you in some cases. And I'm sure Ali tried to get the pay-per-view points, and Dana White probably said, no, we want to see more from him. Now they know he's a savage. We already knew that, but now they've confirmed it after the Moreno fight. But he might lose that fight and might not get them after. So, like, he'll get them for his next fight or so. But I'm with Marcus. Every champion should get a bonus pay-per-view points. What do you think? If you're on a pay-per-view, obviously.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know. And you're, and I'm with you. We're both, like, pro-fighter. So it bothers me, dude. Like, I just saw a tweet from MMA I can't remember what it's called. MMAFA, I think it's called, the Fighters Association. You see their tweet. They're criticizing the Spencer Fisher story. And I'm glad that story got out. It's good that that got out. And again, great story. A couple more questions. These are good ones. Kevin, thanks guys for the questions. You guys are killing it today. Kevin says, I think all MMA managers are terrible, especially compared to other sports. Makes sense. There's so much more money in other sports for talent agents, managers. It's true. I think there's a few. I think, you know, as much as people don't like him, Marcel, Ali is really good at his job. Like, he's a really good manager. You can say what you want about him and all the, you know, the past ties to certain organizations and stuff, the way he got in the States, all that stuff. We know my friend Kareem, he's done the stories, but the guy's good at his job. You know, I've never heard one guy say he's bad. Yeah,
exactly. Ask his clients.
They all love him, dude. Like, you hear these guys like Burns, who else? Rumble Johnson, Frankie. Gaethje, these guys, Khabib, they love this guy. Trudeau, yeah. He trains with them.
Usman.
He's been a professional fighter himself. So again, you can say what you want, but I think Ali is good. I think Malkin's pretty good. Generally, the whole thing with Yoel was kind of weird, whatever happened there, but I think they're good. And there's a few other guys. Like, Brian Butler's a pretty good manager. There's a couple other guys more so. Rubenstein. Daniel Rubenstein's actually, I know Danny because I've met him in person. I met him at the Carlos Condit GSP fight. We used to talk on Twitter back in the day. That was, dude, he was just a fan back then. And now he's managing Peter Yan. So, like, you see where that, he was like me. He was a fan. I turned to a journalist. He went into, like, management. He had known the UFC guys. And they're like, I remember he was telling me, he's like, oh, I'm going to go chill with Sean Shelby after and stuff. Like, he knew these guys. So, but yeah, I think he's really good. But in general, Marcel, it's a great point because why would you want to be an MMA manager, right? When you think about it, unless you got these high profile clients like Ali does. Because if you go to another sport like baseball or football, they're making a lot more money, obviously. So, you know, if you're an MMA manager, it's a tough job. And not only that, but, man, you don't want to charge these guys, but you do have to charge them, I think, 10%. You probably don't want to. I think other sports, it's, like, capped at, like, 3 or 5%. I think baseball is, like, maximum 5%, I think. I'm pretty sure. Whereas MMA, it's, like, whatever the contract you get. It's just sad, man, because it's such a great sport. So I think there's more money flowing through than we know about in the back. But the normal people like us don't get it, you know? It's the people like Dana that are really making the profits off the sport, in my opinion. And Daniel says, Figueroa's beef is with his manager. As outside observers, we'd all assume that would be favoring your contract. He says, he's still on with pay-per-view points. He says, I like how Ali's putting his fighters to other leagues. Yeah, that's true, too. I like that, too. You know, Ali's he used to be a big part of WSOF. I think he was the matchmaker, right, back in the day, so... You know, the guy's definitely got some push in the other promotions. Here's some comments here. I've missed this one. Hey, Pacers fan. That's a cool picture. Some of his, I guess he's sparring in there, doing some light workout with his buddy. It's a beast. Cardio looked really bad as Cater, Stevens, and Kyle Bochniak. That's true, too. The Kyle Bochniak fight, that's a good point. That was a crazy war. That third fight where someone, he's like, You know, that guy's awesome, man. Lost third round, all fighters is a trend. Yeah, actually, I want to pull that picture up. I love that picture of him, Bochniak. You know that one, Marcel?
Yeah. Where he walks, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got it. Let me pull it up here. Where is that folder?
Kyle's fighting on January 30, by the way, I saw.
Here it is. Yeah. Okay, it's okay. It's not really good quality, but you guys know what I'm talking about. All right. Kevin says, when you buy a pay per view, originally gives the option to tell UFC the fighter we are wanting to watch. That person would get a small percentage of the purchase. That's interesting, actually. Here's a good one. Cameron says, what's next for Merab? Actually, they just booked him for the fight. Who's he fighting, Marcel?
Yeah, he's fighting not well. Got info, he's fighting Cody Stamann on February 6th. But when I posted it in the afternoon, apparently on earlier that day, and Georgie, the Georgian MMA guy, posted on Twitter, also let me know after I posted. Merab asked to reschedule the fight because he had still symptoms, or he was still recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
So he barely trained. He couldn't train. He's also not sparring or anything. So likely he's not fighting. And Stamann wants to remain on the February 6th card. So that fight probably not going to happen. So probably Stamann will get a replacement because Stamann already said he wants to fight on that card and Merab says he can't make it. So
that's too bad. That's a good matchup because I was like, can Marab's wrestling is amazing. Can he get Stamann down? Stamann's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
That would have been a good fight. That's disappointing, man. Yeah, I really like Merab, guys. He's won 5 straight fights. The sad thing is, though, I don't think most fans like him because I just posted the fight, Marcel, last week. Like, barely anyone read it. No one cares about him yet, I don't think, because he hasn't got a finish, right? Like, he's just decisioning, guys. He's got to finish someone, I think, and get a highlight reel before fans get behind him.
The sucky thing for Merab is as well. He could have been undefeated.
Right? I agree. I think both the fights, the Ricky Simone fight, he got completely boned. That was ridiculous. The fight was over, and they called it a stoppage. It was already over. The other fight with
Saints, he won that. Saints, fight.
Most people thought I thought he won the decision.
Clearly, in my opinion,
I'm with you. Cody Garbrandt, Marcel, he said he's targeting a bantamweight fight with Jose Aldo.
You got to tell me this, man. He wanted to fight for the flyweight title. What's happened with that? He's now again talking
changed
about
his mind. He says I don't want to wait. I want to fight. So I don't blame him, dude. I don't blame him.
Okay, I'm more for the 135 for him than 125, by the way.
Me too. I don't even think he'll make 125. And you know what? Especially after COVID, the weight cut must be even harder, I would imagine, right? So I think him fighting 135 makes sense. There's like this love triangle thing going on, I think, right now with Aldo, and you got Garbrandt, you got TJ Dillashaw right there too. Because Aldo wants TJ, Cody wants Aldo, and then I don't know who TJ wants. And the weird thing was Dana was like, oh, we're going to let TJ talk to the matchmakers, we'll decide with him. Like, when he talked about title shot, I don't think TJ's going to wait for a title shot because Yan and Sterling's not happening until April. He'd have to wait another 6 months after that. He wouldn't fight for another year. He will fight again. I think he'll probably fight Aldo. I think they'll probably do that fight. But Rob Font is a guy. He's right there too. He wants a big fight. He's healthy. And there's a few other guys too, Marcel. Corey Sandhagen and Frankie are fighting. Maybe the winner of that fight could fight one of these guys for a title shot potentially. This division is so stacked right now. It's ridiculously stacked. You also have Cejudo possibly coming back. You have Figueiredo moving up potentially too. This division is ridiculous, Marcel. I absolutely love the division, man.
Same. I love the division. All these lighterweight divisions.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that too. Leon Edwards and Khamzat, that's been rebooked. I want to mention that. March 13th, 5-round main event. Hopefully these guys stay healthy. I mean, they both got COVID, Marcel. But, man, so much has changed. It's the last time Leon Edwards has fought. I can't even explain to you guys like how much I've changed and you've changed. It's like it's been that long. It's been almost 2 years, so hopefully that fight stays intact. Let's go to your page, Marcel. We got a few more minutes here. Let's go up to Marcel's Instagram, which you guys should follow, by the way. This is like, I literally go to your page every day, Marcel. it's one of the first things I do every time I look on the internet in the morning. Start with this fight. And again, we don't give our picks right now. We're just going to look at the matchup. Julian Robertson versus Miranda Maverick. She's called the Savage Robertson. Miranda Maverick is an absolute savage. Her name is the Maverick. Fear the Maverick. I don't like her nickname. It's not very good. But I really like her, man. She is an absolute beast. We saw that against Jujua. But Robertson, great ground game. She'll have to get her down the ground and go for a submission. But what I saw from Maverick, man, her stand-up's really good, dude. It's very sharp. What do you think of this fight?
Yeah, it's a fun matchup, man. I mean, both girls are pretty young still, in my opinion. So, Maverick looked good, like you said, against Jojua in her debut fight. It was also in Abu Dhabi, I think, right?
Yeah.
This one will probably be in Vegas. Robertson. Yeah, I expected Robertson to lose against Taylor Santos for some reason.
Me too.
But Yeah, I think she can win this fight when she able to take her to the ground. But Maverick's stand up, like you said, is very good. So pretty fun fight. It's a fight between two women who are going against that top 15. You know, Robertson just got out of the top 15, but a win against Maverick will get her maybe just in the top 15 again, maybe just not. But that's where likely those two girls are, between top 15, top 20 right now.
I like them, man. I really like Maverick, though. She's got a good story, too. Like, she's doing her PhD right now while she's a full-time fighter in the UFC. That's incredible. So I really like her, man. Next fight here. Oh, yeah. The big boys, Marcel. Here we go. They're going to have to reinforce the octagon for these guys, man. This is going to be a lot of weight in the cage. Oh, man, what a great fight. Yarzino Rosenstruck versus Ciryl Gane. That's the co-main event on the Khamzat card. I'm okay with it being co-main because I don't think it's going to need three rounds. It probably gets end of the finish. Love the fight, Marcel. Honestly, you know, I think Gane is the real deal, but this is a tough fight, man. Rosenstruck's got serious KO power. I think I got to favor Gane a little bit, though. I really like this guy. I believe in him. But Rosenstruck's got a little bit more experience. He's got KO power. It's a great fight. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great fight, definitely, man. Two guys who can bang it out, you know. But the problem here for Rosenstruck would probably be his ground game. He doesn't – I don't want to say – yeah, actually, he doesn't have a ground game, in my opinion. So, I mean, and Gane definitely has a ground game. He even finished black belt Rafael Pessoa by a submission. For example, after that, he submitted Dontali Mays. What's that, the heel
hook? Heel hook, dude. We never see that at heavyweight.
At heavyweight, yeah. Crazy. So, I mean, I think, listen, man, you know, Rosenstruck, he talks Dutch because he's from Suriname. He's from Suriname, and that's a former colony of the Netherlands. So, he also trained in the Netherlands. People over here will underestimate Gane 100%, man. They think this will be a landslide for Rosenstruck. Well, definitely not. I think this will be a very tough fight for Rosenstruck, definitely because Gane has everything to gain in this fight. You know, Rosenstruck has to defend his spot right now. Gane is real good, man. I'm really high on this guy. Like I said 1 minute ago, good striking, good ground game. So he is pretty much a complete package, and he's still so inexperienced, you know. So, fun fight. Looking forward to this one.
I like it, too. It's the next one. We just talked about this. We obviously know it's a great
fight. You see the picture I use?
This one?
Yeah.
It's a great picture. Where do you get your pictures from? You use the UFC Getty images? Is that what
Yeah.
Like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. It went, like, after the fights, right? Or is it before the fight? After the fight?
Mostly I go before the fights, before because the fight. After the fights, they look like they've been hit. So,
you've been hit by a truck. I know. It's crazy, right? All right, how about this fight? Trevin Giles versus Driscus Duplessis. Wow. I like this fight, too. This guy is really good, man. Good. You know more about him than me, obviously. But Giles, more fights in the UFC. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, it's a good matchup, man. Giles won against Bevon Lewis last time, so it's a good win. Driscus Duplessis, he won against Marcus Perez knockout first round, man. So that was a great debut. It's a good fight to see where both guys standing in the division right now. I think Giles has more experience in the UFC, and Duplessis has experience in KSW. He's been there, the champion. EFC, he's been there, the champion. So it's a good second fight for him in the UFC. Giles is still not an established guy, in my opinion, in the UFC. He's an established MMA fighter, but he hasn't made his name yet in the UFC. And Duplessis is making to look his name to make his name in the UFC. So it's a good fight. Looking forward to it. And man, this can go either way, honestly, man. I think many people will be heavily favoring Duplessis, but Giles is good as well, man.
Yeah, and I've talked about that last fight, so we won't get into that one. But yeah, I'm with you on that matchup. I get some comments here quickly. Cameron says, I think Jillian wins. Maverick's really stiff when she fights. I don't know, man. I like what I saw, but we'll see. Dan Edwards, you got to warn me before announcing Yair versus Gane. Could have dropped my coffee. Oh, you didn't see that? That's a great fight, man. Straight wager. UFC feeds Jillian the prospects, and they low-key like to find out where the prospect stands. Barber said, Santos and Maverick. Yeah, you're right. She beats like a lot of the lower tier fighters, but she's losing to like the really good prospects.
But all right, these prospect fights, man. I mean,
you hate them, right?
I'm happy it's not for a Dana White Contender Series contract, you know, because then one would lose and we wouldn't see him in the UFC. But I mean, why? For some example, we have, for example, no disrespect, but we have Condit against Matt Brown on the co-main event on this Saturday, and I absolutely love the fight, but those are two older guys, you know?
Yep.
For example, the Baeza-Brown fight. It was a great fight, man. You got a veteran against a young guy, and Brown could have won that fight in the first round. He was close finishing him, and he got knocked out in the second. But those are the fights that's a make or break fight, you know? You can see if you are going, how do you say that, if you're young and you'll be able to go with a veteran and win, or you're still not there. You know, that's the fights I'm more for, you know, because, for example, man, they're going to give Kay Hansen, they give her now Cheyenne Buss. You know,
yeah, I don't like that fight. That's a weird fight.
She should just fought McKenna, and she got robbed against McKenna in that fight. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Oh, I thought so too. Yeah, I said.
But
yeah,
I had a 30-27.
Yeah, I know. I think I had a 29-20. I can't remember, but I had her. Yeah. There's no way she won that. Yeah. Here's what Cameron says. I'm a big fan of Dodson. You think he'll fight again, John Dodson? I don't know. I think he'll fight again, but where? I don't know. I don't know if Bellator wants him. He hasn't been very excited in a while. What do you think?
No, I don't know, man. I haven't heard anything about it, man. But I have no idea, honestly. But did you hear about that ex-MMA organization, which is have now James Vick on the card, Carl Bogniak on the card?
No, I didn't see this.
January 31st, man.
What's it called?
Ex-MMA.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Ex-MMA.tv on Instagram.
I think I've heard of that promotion. I'll check out the card. I'll check it out after. I just want to plug the site here. MMAoddsbreaker.com, the home of the podcast. Where is it? Oops, gotta pull it up. I had the back page open. You guys can see where I'm doing all of my writing and doing all my concoctions in the back. Now, here we go. Here's the public website. Where is it? There it is. So here's the podcast, obviously. So I just want to plug my stuff. Did the breakdown for Max and Cater. We did the podcast Tuesday. You guys heard it. You know who I'm picking. But if you want to see a written breakdown, there it is. Opening odds for that. And this podcast. Also, I have LFA's another card that's this weekend. I did an article on that, so I just wanted to plug that stuff. But again, you know, you follow the podcast, guys. We'd love for you guys to, you know, join us every two. I should mention I'm doing it three times a week now: Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday, Marcel. So the people, Marcel, demanded you come back every Thursday. So anytime Marcel is available, I want him to come on, Marcel. So it's going to be up to you, obviously. If you know, I've told the listeners you have work. Sometimes, yeah. But if you don't have work, you're going to be on with me, hopefully, because I love doing the show with you, man. Tuesdays with Cole, obviously, and then Monday this year, Monday at 10 a.m. Right now, tentatively, Monday at 10 a.m., I'm doing a recap show. So, like, for this card, I'll go back on Monday and I'll recap the card. So I'm going to do that. So it's good to have a third podcast a week, because I love talking about it. What are you going to say?
No, that's funny, man. I was watching live your show on Monday, and you're just like, Marcel is pretty probably working right now, but Monday is my day off, so I was just watching live.
Okay, so actually, it's funny. This is great to talk about. Marcel was in the chat the other day, but he didn't have Marcel, Big Marcel, as his name. He had some other guy, and I was like, man, who is this guy? He's dropping some really good like comments in the comment section. I go like, man, I'm talking about Marcel in third person. I'm like, you know, Marcel, I want him on the podcast. You should tell. I was telling you to tell yourself to come on the podcast. That was a lot of fun, but in all seriousness, love doing the show, and I like the fact we're doing it three times a week, so 3 hours of content, which is great. I'd rather do it five times, but you know, I gotta make a living too. But right now we're doing three, which is great. It's an upgrade from two. Anyways, Marcel, plug yourself, man, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, Big Marcel 24, Twitter and Instagram. MMA DNA, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, whatever you can find it. And I will also do a giveaway for the upcoming Brave card on Saturday as in collaboration with Fight TV. You got some great fights on it, man. You got Aldo Alderov defending his title against Leonardo Mafra. Roman Bogatov is on the card, who everybody remembers against his only UFC fight against Leonardo Santos. And Ali Bagotinov is also on the card, man. He's a co-main event against Livchikov, I think the guy's name. So, and also Alexander Kashtov is on the card, making his debut on the Brave card. So
I can't wait to see how many times that dude kicks his opponent in the nuts after he kicked Leo Santos in the balls. Like, that was one of the – I've never seen more fouls in a fight. Actually, there's one other fight. Well, there's a couple other fights, but Marabek Tysonov, he fought Michel Pizarro in Brazil, and he kept grabbing the fence. You remember that fight? He got deducted like two or three points. He just kept grabbing. He's just screwed. And also Chito Vera when he fought Davy Grant. That's another fight where he kept grabbing the fence. Yeah. He just kept grabbing it. Anyway, that's it. But yeah, there's a last comment here. Daniel Edwards says, fun when UFC releases hounds, does prospect. They're doing too much lately. Trey Wager, great podcast, guys. Marcel, you're crushing the second language. Have a great week. Yeah, you too, man. Enjoy the card on Saturday, guys. Hopefully you guys win some money if you're betting on it, obviously. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin right there at the bottom of the screen. Podcast, MMAoddsbreaker.com, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. live. You know, I'm open to switching the Monday time up if there's another time that someone people would like on the weekend or something. But right now, I think Monday is a good time to do it. I'd like to keep the same time every day. Anyways, BJPenn.com, MMAoddsbreaker.com, MMArings.net, odds.com. Have a great day, guys. See you Monday at 10 a.m. Have a great day. Bye.